New rules for foreign college students sent shockwaves through American academic institutions this week. On Monday, the Department of Homeland Security said all of the roughly 1 million international students who are currently enrolled in the U.S. must attend at least one in-person class this fall, or they will be denied visas to either enter or stay in the country. The news came as both colleges and students are struggling to make plans for the fall semester in the middle of a pandemic. We start by hearing from some of the students reacting to the news.
I'm Elizabeth Gimba. I'm from Kenya in South Sudan, and I'm currently enrolled at Skidmore College.
I'm Raul Romero. I'm from Caracas, Venezuela.
Hello, my name is Yuxiao Wu. I also go by Isabel. I'm originally from China. I study Latin American history.
So I'm Jaskeet Ratpanjrat. I'm originally from India, but I reside in New York City.
My name is Niall Nair. I am from the islands of Fiji. I'm proud to say I'm one of the first geneticists out of the Pacific Islands. My entire worldview of how we should be approaching science and medicine changed by the opportunities I was afforded by coming to the United States.
My research is based on solely based on the library sources I have. And the California library system is one of the largest library systems in the US, in the world. And this is just a tremendous resource for researchers like me.
You have hands-on experience of what you dream of in the United States. And now it's being taken away from me in many ways. So I don't know what to think about it.
The new regulation, again, blindsided us completely. And the choices I'm faced with is either risk my life and health and go to class in person, or risk being deported, because even though I'm legally here.
We're basically having to make the choice of staying, continuing our education and becoming deportable, or going back to our countries and in many cases face certain amount of risks. In Venezuela, it goes beyond the humanitarian crisis and the violence. There's also, you know, very poor internet connection. Blackouts occur daily. There's no constant supply of water.
I'm most concerned about my education because I don't think I have the luxury or the option of, for instance, taking a semester gap or deciding to go back home and take a break or anything of the sort.
There's like this constant, feeling that like I don't belong here, even though I'm like paying so much money and there's so much and I'm on a student loan.
You know, we're here temporarily and we're not even being allowed to stay here temporarily.
I mean, it's tiring, it's hectic, it's frustrating, it's really draining. And there's not much we can always do from our side.
This law makes me and a lot of international students feel that we are deserted by the country, we're unwelcome here. What is the most devastating thing for me is that feeling of rejection.
Harvard and MIT quickly filed a lawsuit to block the new rule, saying that it risks the health of students and faculty. One of the major institutions grappling with the change is the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Jeffrey Brown spoke with its chancellor, Rebecca Blank, a short time ago.
Rebecca Blank, thank you for joining us. We just heard from several students. I understand you have some 5,800 foreign students on campus there. What do you think is the impact on them?
So this is an unwise and a terribly disruptive policy. We have many students who are in the middle of programs, many of them doing research work in labs with faculty. Having to tell them all to go home if they can't take in-person classes simply doesn't make any sense. Now, we're trying to run a hybrid model of both in-person and online classes this next semester. So I'm hoping many of them will be able to stay in Madison. But, some students can't get home. Some students, it's not safe for them to be in their home country. The infections are far worse there than here in Madison. And some students, if they stop out, are just not going to get back.
Ken Cuccinelli, who's the acting deputy secretary at DHS, he said, if they're not going to be a student or they're going to be 100% online, then they don't have a basis to be here. They should go home and then they can return when the school opens. What is wrong with that logic?
So there are a lot of reasons for a student to be here on campus or, you know, in the United States while they're a registered student at our campuses. As I say, some of them may well be working with faculty, doing lab work and research, even if they are taking classes online. Some of them will be in situations where, I mean, there are literally no flights back to some countries right now. They can't get there. We had a whole number of students who stayed last spring when we went online. Almost all of them were international students. Many of them stayed over the summer because they were reasonably certain if they went home, they wouldn't be able to get back to school here this fall. It's quite clear that when schooling gets disrupted in this way, that once you stop out, you know, once it becomes hard, it's just that much harder for students to get back in and finish their degree. And we want all of these students to get an education and to finish their degrees as fully and as quickly as possible.
Now, we're talking about the impact on students. What about the impact on schools like yours? Where are you in planning for the fall, and how much of an impact would this have?
So we are very busily trying to change our entire mode of operation so that we can have students back on campus and do so in a way that is safe for both our students as well as our faculty and staff. If we're able to accomplish that, and we believe we're going to be able to, then our international students should be able to stay under this order. But of course, it is possible that infections get a lot worse, various things happen, and that we would have to go to an all-online program at some point in the fall. And at that point, all of our foreign students would be under threat of going home. The effects on the institution, obviously, there's some institutional financial effects on this, but that's not the primary issue. Our students are part of our campus community. They're integrated in it a number of ways. We want them to be as safe and as healthy as possible. And in many cases for them, even if we're online, being in our dorms and staying here in Madison and not trying to get home to what are sometimes much more uncertain situations in their home countries.
But there are financial implications, right? A lot of these students would be paying full tuition. You wouldn't be getting that. So what would happen if this goes through and you lose these students?
Well, you know, the effect on our tuition from our international students is about $200 million. You know, that's not zero. Of course, if we go to a virtual and online situation, we will be having students dropping out who are domestic students as well as international. But as I say, my main concern about this policy is not the financial implications. We're going to do everything we can to try to be open in the fall. My concern is its impact on the education of students. And I should say the presence of foreign students at American universities has been incredibly important to this country. They go home, they become business leaders, they become political leaders. Their connections back to the United States from having been to our schools, of having spent time in the US, are just golden in terms of creating long-term relationships between this country and other countries.
Several critics of the administration and this move have seen it as an attempt, a political attempt, to force colleges to reopen in the fall. Do you see it that way?
You know, I can't judge the motivations behind this regulation. As I say, I just think it's a very unwise regulation. It was issued with, as far as I know, no consultation with any of the universities or higher education organizations, and caught everybody by surprise, which of course makes it all the more disruptive.
And so briefly, what is the next step for you? I know several schools, Harvard and MIT among them, have sued already. You have not joined that suit, I don't think, yet. What's the next step?
So, you know, we are clearly trying to message to all of our students that we're doing everything we can to have online classes available to them and that we are going to work with them to be able to stay here. We're looking at our legal options, whether it makes sense to join or not. As a state institution, we have certain constraints on that. But I've issued a very strong statement of opposition to this particular regulation. We've talked to our delegation in the U.S. Senate and Congress, some of them have been very supportive of this. And I hope we can actually get ICE and the administration to really rethink what they're doing here.
All right. Rebecca Blank is the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Thank you very much.
Thank you.